The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm. Gordon Brown, James Millman and Gary Capewell will be the team in the studio. Something for everybody on Wednesday afternoon. We have all-weather racing at Lingfield, flat racing from Nottingham and the first jumps fixture of the season at Wetherby. We'll finish the day with all-weather racing on the poly track at Kempton Park. So four meetings to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, thank you, Mark.
Good. Fresh from a couple of days at York as well, Mick.
Yes, and the final meeting of the season at York. Can't believe where the summer's gone. It didn't seem 2 minutes ago since we were looking forward to the Dante. But yes, it was a quite successful final 2 days. Winners weren't easy to come by, but thankfully the ground wasn't too bad, so the course didn't get its traditional October battering, which will stand it in good stead come next May.
Yes, it will, yes. And one of the highlights towards the end of the flat season is Champions Day coming up at Ascot on Saturday. And plenty to talk about with regards to that as well, Mick. The news on Tuesday, as we record this, is that Farr is going to go for the Champions Stakes. He wasn't in both that and the QE2. He's going to go into the Champions Stakes and a likely battle with Sirister Zaig ensues, Mick.
Yes, Sirister Zaig bounced right back to his very best, hasn't he, the last twice, and with no Frankel to spoil his day on Saturday. I hope it keeps raining for him to give him every chance of going one better than he did 12 months ago. But a fascinating lineup, isn't it? It's had a bit of a battering, hasn't it, this day's racing, and it still could yet be if it continues raining. We could get one or two of the stars missing, but I think it will be a select day's racing, whatever happens.
Yeah, I suppose the rain could see a few coming back out.
Likes of Declaration of War, etc. I think they're all ground-dependent, aren't they?
Mm. Declaration of War, third favourite for that as well, behind Farhu, second favourite at 4-1, and Sirister Zaig, the even money favourite at the moment.
Short enough, isn't he? Yeah. But at least he is back to form, and the more rain that falls will suit him.
It will. So that's one of the races to look forward to. Another is the Long Distance Cup and the return of Estimate, the Queen's Royal Ascot winner, the Ascot Gold Cup winner, is the 5-2 favourite for the Long Distance Cup.
Yes, he's going to be fresher than plenty of them, only having her third start of the season. And yes, I mean, it's great to see her back and back at Ascot as well. And she's very effective at the 2 mile trip, isn't it? It's not as if she needed the extreme distances of the Gold Cup to win that. So, good to see her back, and it'll be a good race. Harris Tweed, again, he's another one who'll love it if it keeps raining, won't it? And he'll be trying to do it the hard way from the front, won't he? And it'll be a really good race and a good opener to the day.
Yeah, and another race that's heating up to be quite a spectacular race is the QE2. Dawn Approach, the 2-1 favourite for that at the moment. Soft Falling Rain, 4-1. Olympic Glory, 9-2 with Toronado. Maxios, 6-1. It's then 8-1 for Declaration of War. 10-1 for Gordon Law, Byron and Magician. And an interesting runner there at 12-1. Top Notch Tonto has been supplemented for the race as well, with the ground conditions definitely going to suit him.
Yeah, Brian Ellison, great man for looking outside the box. He thought it might be a ground-affected lineup, and they've paid the money to throw a top-notch Tonto into it. We know how Brian's forward planning works out. Look at the way he landed the Irish Cesaro, which, I mean, beating them in their own game, and an Irish handicap like that is quite spectacular.
Yeah,
and I hope they get their rewards, hit the frame at the very least, and get their supplementary investment backs. But he brings some lustre to the race, doesn't he? Coming here in great form, Top Notch Tonto, a 3-year-old who should not be underestimated at this level, with plenty of these horses, not with questions to answer because they've been there and done it, but it's October now and some of them have been on the go since May, haven't they?
Yeah.
And they've got to go out there and do it all again.
So do you think you'll get into the race, Mick? Involved in the race, sorry, with proven Group 1 performers like Dawn Approach and Toronado in there?
I think it would have to be a ground leveller, Mark. Yeah. I think it would have to be you know, we know he'll love the ground and some of those might not. And I think that that would probably be have to be the case if he's going to make a serious impact on it. But I think he's well worth a try and fair play to them for doing it.
OK, well, that comes up on Saturday. And that's one of the highlights towards the end of the flat season. One horse we won't see running on the flat again. Camelot has been retired. Retired to stud after pulling up lame. The plan was to go to the Breeders' Cup with him, wasn't it? But they won't be able to get enough work into him before going now, so they're just retiring.
Yeah, I mean, fair play to them for keeping him in training. It didn't quite pay off, did it? I mean, he had his moments as a four-year-old, but really, we'll remember him best for his brilliance at three, won't we?
Yeah. Three classics is fantastic, isn't it? So just didn't get that triple crown.
The triple crown just denied him in somewhat dubious circumstances. So there you are.
Yep. And away from the flat stuff then, let's talk about jumps. We've got the opening meeting at Weatherby coming up on Wednesday, as we mentioned. We've got the opening meeting at Cheltenham coming up this weekend as well, on Friday and Saturday. A William Hill-sponsored card at Kempton, where we're going to see, hopefully, Rock on Ruby take on the new one, which will be quite a way to start the season, won't it?
Absolutely. And you'd have thought you wanted to see one of those good horses at this time of year, but seeing two of them going head-to-head in the William Hill Download the App listed hurdle on Sunday is a real treat, isn't it? And, certainly something to look forward to, with the jumping season really kicking in with Cheltenham. Hopefully the field stand up at Cheltenham and Kempton to give us a really good day's racing on Sunday. Of course, we've got plenty of good races around the corner, and we're going to see the stars coming out shortly, aren't we? Especially, I think, with the plenty of rain that's falling, they'll be able to get them on grass, get them schooling the jumping trainers, and get their big guns out.
Yeah, and two of the big guns in the champion hurdle then on Sunday. So great weekend to look forward to throughout. We'll move on to that later on in the week, but before we get there, Mick, we have racing to look forward to on Wednesday, and you've gone to Nottingham for your three.
Yes, I have, Mark. Just your typical tricky back end Nottingham car, but I thought just a look at three races, I thought we might be able to eke a bit of value out. The first race we're going to start with is the 420. It's the Class 3 10 furlongs handicap, and with 14 declared, and they've declared on soft ground, so hopefully there won't be a plethora of non-runners. And interesting race. Have you got any betting for it yet, Mark, or not?
We haven't got the betting officially on site, no, not at the moment. But
I'll go you through my particular fancies in race card order then. Well, we'll start with Fennel Bay, who is a prolific winner. He's won 8 of his 40 career starts, including turf and or weather. Graham Lee riding for Mark Johnson. He's won on soft and he's hard to dismiss. My worry with Fennel Bay, and he is going to take a chunk out of the market, bear this in mind, he's been beaten in all of his starts in the 90s. So just bear that in mind if you're thinking of lumping on to Fennel Bay. I'm not saying he won't hit the frame or even win it, because he was back to form at Wolverhampton last time on the Polytrack, but it's there in his record. He'd beaten all starts in the 90s. Weapon of Choice is going to get my vote in the race. His Son of Ifraj. He's won on heavy. He won on heavy as a two-year-old, so if it stays raining at Nottingham where it's already soft, it won't bother him. Off this mark, and with this jockey on board as well. So plenty going for him, especially as he comes here on the back of a win at Epsom last time. But look at this Tom Queeley record on him. 6 rides, 2 wins, 2 seconds, a third and a fourth. So he saves his best for Tom, doesn't he? And Tom's back on him on Wednesday, and I think coming here on ground that's not going to be disadvantageous to him, and off a mark we know he can function off, I think he's going to be very hard to beat. A couple of others to mention. That man Ellison, can't leave him out, can you? Amaze was back to form last time, second of 14 here at Nottingham. And he's won off higher marks in the past. He's got plenty of soft ground form as well. He was second to Border Legend in a course and distance race last week. And that was on the back of... he's had a few days off, well, about 60-odd, I think, if I can read my own writing. And in that interim period, he'd had his win done. So that could have been the reason for the return to form. And I think Amaze rates the danger to weapon of choice, and I wouldn't be amiss at having Amaze as a saver back in weapon of choice and having Amaze as my saver there. And the other one to mention is the three-year-old Carry On Sydney. He's coming back from a 102-day break. He's trained by Richard Hann and Pat Dobbs, taking the ride. And he was second in a pretty hot race at Sandown early in the year at April. He ran well at Royal Ascot in the King George's Fifth Stakes and went back to Sandown in July after Royal Ascot and just flopped badly that day. Now, he's had a 102-day break to get over what ailed him that day, but he's lightly raced, he's been placed off this mark and on good to soft. This is his first time against his elders, which he does get the weight for age from. And, well, we saw what the weight for age impact had in the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe, didn't we? Mm. And the weight for age over this 10 furlongs trip is £5. £5 he gets. So if he's back to his best, off the mark of 84, a mark he can function off, he could well be in the mix as well. But I'm going to make weapon of choice the main selection, with Amaze as the likely danger and the dark horse Carry On Sydney.
Okay. The 450 at Nottingham next then. This is Division 1 of this Class 4 5 furlong handicap. And we've got a couple of last time out winners likely to be fairly popular in the betting. De Conde and Monsieur Jamie coming into this in winning form. Are either of those two on the shortlist, Mick?
De Conde certainly is, and De Conde is going to get the vote as well. This daughter of Pivotal, another one. Last time out, as you say, as a daughter of Pivotal, she won't mind the ground. She showed steady improvement on good and easy ground in a light campaign, and she can defy, for me, that £4 rise for the win at Chester last time, which wasn't unexpected. And I think there's probably more to come. We do like last time out winning fillies, and she fits the bill. Graham Lee riding for trainer Brian Smart. A couple of others to mention. Master Bond ran Too Bad to Be True at Hamilton last time. He'd made an impressive start for his new yard at Beverley, and it looks as though David Amar had quickly got the key to him. I don't know what was the matter at Hamilton. It could have been the new mark that was to blame. He ran off £7 higher than the win, and he's got a pound back. If it wasn't the mark, I wouldn't rule him out, but it was just too bad to be true. But he could bounce back. And the other, that last time out winner that you mentioned, Monsieur Jamie, it did run. It was a course and distance handicap, bit of a Southwell specialist, and he also won at Lingfield last month. Doesn't look to be off a bad mark. He's not a horse that I particularly, although he has found the winning habit of late, he's not a horse I can get an angle on. Whenever I fancy him, he lets me down. So I just can't see him backing up somehow. He's not one of those horses that I would say, oh, well, last time out, when he'll go and follow that up. But he does come here as a respected sprinter in form and a course and distance winner. But one that might be interesting as the dark horse of the race is the bottom one, the three-year-old Senator Bong. He's a son of Dutch Art, trained by David Ellsworth. He's run twice over this course and distance, and they're arguably his two best starts in his career. The form of his course and distance maiden win last back end. The third is now rated 88, finished third in that race. And then he was an excellent second in a course and distance nursery. Hasn't shone in two runs so far this season so far, but there were excuses. He was badly drawn at Sandown last time. We can forgive him that. I think he could be the dark horse of the race and might just creep in under the radar. I think De Conde is the solid option with the last time out win to a name and no ground worries or form worries, but Senator Bong is definitely better than those last two runs would suggest, and with his record here, he's got to go on the list as the danger and the saver.
Yeah, Yeah, and he won't mind any cutting the ground.
He won't. No, definitely not. It was those both of those runs here at Nottingham. Both had soft in the going description. Yep. One was soft. One was good to soft.
Yeah. Good stuff, Mick. The 5:20 then at Nottingham is the last race we're going to look at. It's Division 2 of this Class 4 5 furlong handicap. And Toby is one that I think could be quite interesting. Mick, Mick Easterby is in good form. A decent second at Hamilton last time when just pipped by Barks and Ash in the dying strides. And therefore, this drop to 5 probably will be in his favour.
Yeah, it won't hurt. But it will. I think it'll probably need to keep reigning if, you know, for it to play to his strengths, that drop back. He loves it when the mud's flying. Mm. And as you say, back to form at Hamilton last time. Not the most consistent of horses, but is knocking on the door, and just the type to pop up in a race like this. It's full of sort of question marks, if you like. Others to consider are Go On Harry, who was 1 from 1 over course and distance. The slight concern is he's £10 higher than his last win. Probably why Conor Beasley's on board, taking off the 5. That means he's running off 77, but he has been placed off 74, and he does go on the ground and is in form, so he's dangerous to dismiss. Ambitious Icarus, trained by Richard Guest, wears the eye shield. Robbie Fitzpatrick taking the ride. That good, solid vein of form has catapulted his mark into the 70s now. He's rated 77. That means he's £9 higher than his last win. Again, he's not ground dependent. He goes on the ground, and he's in a course and distance winner. My worry is he's got to go and do it now in the 70s, which we won't know whether he can do it until he tries. The vote goes to Cheverton, who I know he's 9 years old now, but he's getting himself really well handicapped. He's £4 lower than his last win, and he definitely hinted had a return to form the last twice. That was an excellent run in the Air Bronze Cup, where he finished 4th in his group over on the far side from a single figure draw, which was hopeless at Air. Mm-hmm. And he ran another solid race. I know he was only 7th of 15 behind Dungannon at Haydock, but that doesn't tell the whole story. He was only just beaten about 3 lengths in that race, which was a lot stronger than company than this was. And this is his time of year, and he goes really well in the mud as well, so it could do with it staying raining for him. So I'm going to go take a chance on Cheverton, hope he gets under the radar as far as the betting goes, and with 4 places to aim at, providing the 17 of them stand their ground, he could be the answer to it.
Yeah, good each way price probably as well. Yeah,
let's hope so, Mark. Yeah,
good stuff, Mick. Let's have a quick summary then, if you will, if you'll spin us through your 3 one more time.
Yes, in these 4:20, I do like the look of Weapon of Choice. I mean, Tom Queeley really knows his horse inside out, and the horse saves his best when Tom's on board, and he's on board there. I think Amaze rates the danger. What I'd do is I'd back Weapon of Choice and have a saver on Amaze. I think the Con's going to take all the beating in the 4:50 to back up from the win at Chester last time. I like a mare in form at this time of year, and she can defy the £4 rise that she picked up for Chester. But the dark horse in the race here is Senator Bong, who's got an excellent record over course and distance when the mud's flying. Mm-hmm. And is fresher than most, and I'd throw the saver at Senator Bong, making De Con the main bet. And I think we'll go all out in the 5:20 in the third of our 3, and just go each way on Cheverton. I can't see him not being involved. This represents a drop in class for him, and he's off a £4 lower mark than his last win.
Fantastic. Good to see you again, Mick.
Yes, thank you, Mark.
And enjoy it on Wednesday.
Certainly will. Thank you, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Mick Norton then on Wednesday's racing at Nottingham. You'll hear all of the action from there alongside Lingfield and Wetherby on Wednesday afternoon, and Kempton Park in the evening. So 4 meetings to look forward to. Gordon Brown, James Millman and Gary Capewell will be live on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. for all of that. So make sure you tune in to catch all of Wednesday's racing. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.